Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The summer heat brings out the urge to fire up the Barbie and start grilling some steaks or hot dogs, and of course, barbecued chicken. But it's not only the beef and chicken on the grill that's hot. So too are the chickens and pigs and calves and ducks that spend their lives, for whatever that's worth, on corporate farms, waiting to serve the hungry one way or another. These animals deserve protections, and the Humane Society of the United States takes them under their wings. So, don't fly away just yet. Every morning we wake up, or in the evening we look at the evening news and we see these record-setting temperatures that are affecting everybody. The topic that most people are concerned about is how it's affecting the urban humans, and rightfully so, because quite honestly it threatens them just as much as it threatens any other life forms, and we are literally dying at this time. Some of us are. Those people, the elderly and people who are particularly susceptible to these conditions. But all across America, there's a huge industry that keeps us alive as well, and that is literally the animals that we find on farms that provide food for us in one way or another. They, too, have to deal with these unusual conditions, and to learn more about that, we're now being joined by Paul Shapiro. He's the director of the Factory Farming Campaign with the Humane Society of the United States. He's joining us from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Paul, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thanks so much, Sydney.
Well, let's talk about the unique challenges that farm animals across America are facing. And let's first of all, just give us an inventory of the animals that we're most concerned about right now.
The overwhelming majority of animals who are raised for food in the United States are chickens. Of course, there are other animals who are also used for food, turkeys, pigs, cows, sheep, and so on. And many people, when they think about where our food comes from, they conjure up images of old McDonald's farm. That is, they envision pigs cooling themselves in mud baths, chickens strutting through barnyards, calves suckling from their mothers, when in reality, virtually nothing could be further from the truth. The unfortunate reality for most farm animals in this country is that they are warehoused on what are known as factory farms. These are industrialized complexes where animals are confined in spaces that are extremely restrictive, and in some cases, they're unable even to turn around or fully extend their limbs. So you can imagine, in the summertime, without the ability to move or to properly space themselves from other animals, how this could have tremendous negative consequences for the animal's welfare.
One would think, from a business perspective, that at a certain point here, these animals are being put at risk. Is that happening?
It certainly is the case that many of these animals are at risk. In the summertime, we have higher mortality rates for animals who are being trucked to slaughter plants, for example. Of course, transport trucks for farm animals are not climate controlled. The animals do not have access to water or to food. And so you have a situation where the animals are exposed to extremely high temperatures. If there's an accident and the truck has to remain on the road for quite some time, mortality rates start to skyrocket. If there is any type of delay, you can have serious problems. And if there's any type of malfunction on one of these factory farms, you could have, within minutes, tens of thousands of dead animals. These factory farms are intensively confined, in some cases, even hundreds of thousands of animals. And so a huge amount of automation is required to keep the fans and the ventilation going. And if those type of systems break down, you could be looking at animals overheating and in some cases even dying by the tens of thousands.
Well, now, are you receiving reports of animals that are endangered or are under stress right now?
Well, we did recently hear of a case, a worker at a pig farm told us about a case where the curtains on the side of this confinement facility did not raise in the morning, and so the pigs overheated, and they had nearly 100 pigs die that morning alone.
You know, this is not going to be the story that everybody's going to necessarily pay close attention to, because, quite honestly, for most of us, we don't give it much thought. For many people in urban environments and other places, we rarely even see these animals, except perhaps in one form or another, in our grocery stores. So let's go ahead and just talk to people, though, who this is their business. Educate them. Let's talk to them about things that they need to be aware of now to really deal with this extraordinary heat that's gripping the nation.
Well, there's unfortunately been a drive toward consolidation within the animal agribusiness industry. And so over the last few decades, the rule within animal agriculture has really been to get big or to get out. And so you have more animals than ever before being raised for food, yet you have fewer farmers than ever before because of this massive consolidation. And after several decades of intensification in the livestock industry, it's time that we start de-intensifying the industry, to start giving the animals more space than they currently have. And that's not only better for the animals, it's better for a whole host of reasons. And as far as the heat is concerned, of course, animals who do have the ability to cool themselves, whether it be ducks in water or pigs in mud, those animals are going to be much safer from the type of inherent problems that you have when you have intensive confinement situations where animals are never able to control their own body temperature.
Well, be specific. Go ahead. What animals do people have to really pay attention to?
Well, for example, ducks. There are virtually no duck farms of any serious size, any commercial duck factory farms that allow the ducks the ability to submerge themselves in water. And keep in mind, these are waterfowl. It is essential. They have webbed feet. They're supposed to be in the water. But ducks who don't have access to water can overheat very quickly, and they are at a very high risk. Even further, ducks who are not only being raised for duck meat, but also for the so-called delicacy known as foie gras, are at especially high risk because these animals are being force-fed on a daily basis, causing their livers to enlarge and inflicting them with a state of disease. And so ducks especially are at extremely high risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and talk about their conditions. Are they confined in small cages, or what is their status?
Most ducks in this country are not confined in small cages, but they are confined indoors in pens, suspended above pits of their own manure at pretty much all times. And so it's a very bleak existence that these animals lead. Perhaps, though, the most bleak of all the existences is really the plight of the egg-laying hen in this country. There are about 300 million egg-laying hens in the United States, and almost all of them are confined in barren battery cages. These are cages that are so restrictive, the birds are unable even to spread their wings. The birds generally are in a cage with maybe 7 or 8 other birds, so they're in a constant state of friction against one another, making it extremely difficult for them to cool themselves down. And heat is just one of the problems. Of course, these facilities have fans, but if there's any problem that goes on with electrically, you can have a huge number of animals dying. But again, heat is only one of the problems. These animals lead lives of daily frustration and suffering, no matter what the temperature is, because of their extraordinarily close confinement. The confinement of these birds in battery cages is so abusive that a number of European countries have outlawed it on animal welfare grounds. Yet here in the United States, on this issue, we are lagging behind. However, the good news is that there are a number of retailers that are implementing exclusively cage-free egg policies. That's to say they will not sell any eggs from birds who have been confined in battery cages, and they'll only sell cage-free eggs. And this is very good news, and it's a positive step in the right direction that we at the Humane Society of the United States want to applaud.
In the timber industry, you have the FSC, which is Certified Sustainable Resources. In terms of cage-free eggs, or are we expecting to see at some point little icons on an egg that tell us that that's part of the source?
Well, any egg that's laid by a cage-free hen is probably in a carton that says cage-free on it. However, there is a dizzying array of animal welfare-related labels that end up on egg cartons, and it's enough to make any consumer confused. So what consumers ought to do is check out egglabels.com. It's our website that explains what conditions are like for the birds under each of these labels, whether or not that label is accompanied by any type of third-party auditing to verify for compliance, and so on. So again, egglabels.com is the best way to check out what the label on the carton actually means.
We're already hearing about some areas where power is disappearing. I'm sure we're going to start hearing about brownouts and even blackouts. It could happen right now, you know.
Yeah.
That would be a particularly dangerous situation based on what you're talking about, where, for example, fans would go off. Is there something is there any way to protect those animals at a time like that?
Well, most importantly would be to have a backup system so that in the case of a blackout, many factory farms are equipped with backup systems, because if the fans go off in the middle of the summer, you could be looking at tens if not hundreds of thousands of dead animals in very short order.
I think one of the frustrations that people may have, most people, is the fact that they really are so removed from food production that it just isn't on their radar screen. And so in terms of really being able to impact these issues, I think they feel a little helpless. But obviously there are things that they can do. Let's talk about, first of all, if a person does come across a situation in their community where they see what appears to be some sort of abuse of farm animals, what's their first course of action?
If someone comes across a case of animal neglect or of animal cruelty, the first thing that they ought to do is to contact their local authorities. All 50 states have anti-cruelty statutes. Now, that's not to say that the authorities will take all complaints seriously or investigate or prosecute, but it is important, first and foremost, to contact the local authorities to make sure they're aware of the situation. People can also contact us here at the Humane Society of the United States and give us a call at 202-452-1100 and report these type of cases. And we can also work with the authorities to help make sure that these animals are helped, and if there is a violation of the cruelty code, to ensure that there's some type of appropriate response there. But also, on a more fundamental level, there are many things that each one of us can do to help improve the plight of farm animals, whether or not we come across a situation in which we're actually a witness to farm animal cruelty. Right now in Congress, there is a bill pending called the Farm Animal Stewardship Purchasing Act, and that bill would mandate that any animal products the federal government purchases must come from animals who had the ability to turn around, extend all their limbs, were not starved, were not force-fed, and were given adequate veterinary care. Now, this doesn't seem like a particularly radical set of standards, but the plight of farm animals in our country today is so poor that there are millions of farm animals who are treated in ways that would violate these standards. So we think it's important for citizens to contact their representatives in Congress and to let them know that you want them to support the Farm Animal Stewardship Purchasing Act. It's otherwise known as H.R. 5557, and it's co-sponsored by Congressman Chris Shays, a Republican from Connecticut, and Congressman Pete DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon. And we want to make sure that the Farm Animal Stewardship Purchasing Act, H.R. 5557, gets the hearing that it deserves, gets an up or down vote, and gets passed through Congress and signed by the president.
And not to become too political, but is this falling along any sort of party lines?
No. Compassion for animals is a bipartisan issue. Everyone from Senator Robert Byrd, a Democrat from West Virginia, to Congressman Dennis Kucinich, a Democrat from Ohio, to Republican members of Congress like Bob Dole, the former Republican nominee for president, or Matthew Scully, George W. Bush's former speechwriter, are all supporters of animal welfare, including farm animal welfare. In fact, Matthew Scully published a fantastic book called Dominion, in which he calls for a Humane Farming Act, which would include a ban on some of the worst agribusiness cruelties, such as battery cages for egg-laying hens, veal crates for young male calves, gestation crates for breeding pigs, and so on. And so there definitely is not voting on party lines when it comes to the welfare of animals. Compassion for animals is certainly a bipartisan issue.
That's good to know. It would feel absolutely wrong if that weren't the case. I do believe that compassion is a human character, not a political virtue. You've really covered a lot of topics here, and I certainly encourage people to contact you if they want to learn more about this from the perspective of the Humane Society as well, the factory farming campaign. Is there a way for them to do so?
Absolutely. If folks want to check out the HSUS Factory Farming Campaign website, they can go to humaneeating.com.
Humaneeating.com. Very easy.
I think these animals have the capacity to enjoy their lives. They have the capacity to suffer. They have the capacity to be happy. And unfortunately, because of our mistreatment of them, we oftentimes force them to endure suffering that they really shouldn't have to endure.
Well, Paul Shapiro, director of the Factory Farming Campaign with the Humane Society of the United States, I want to thank you so much for lending your voice here on the Wild Side News.
Thank you so much, Sydney. It's been a pleasure.
Here's a little secret. We're going to win this one. We are. We're getting wiser and better organized, and a whole huge breadth of people are coming to the same conclusion. We want our world back as it was, provided to each of us on the day we were born. We all have a secret understanding of what that was, and we carry it around in a sacred place, somewhere in our soul. Now, let the soul emerge and take us all to the place we can become one with the paradise of our little planet Earth. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again next Thursday, or Friday if the internet fails, or any time on the archives when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.